Hello and welcome back to the Smashy Business Show. I am Farah Bashir.
And I'm Richard Fitzgerald.
And today we are going to be talking about really exciting stuff. But first of all, I would like to tell you, Richard, Mabrook.
Thank you, Farah.
For Richard had his Katb Kitab done. And I'm honestly happy. I love Katb Kitabs. Every time I open Instagram, everyone's getting married, everyone's getting engaged. And I feel like I'm missing out. That's fine. It's okay. I am doing business right now. When it's time, it will be time. So exactly. Let's go through the headlines quickly. Saudi job market sees gains, men's employment drops, and women's participation has been up to 35.8%. Aramco to acquire 10% stake in Renault Geely JV horse powertrain valued at $8.2 billion. And we have an exclusive story. FTI Group bankruptcy leaves Red Sea 24 employees in Egypt uncompensated, and Saudi's $22 billion sports market beacons UK investors to seize growth opportunities. So let's talk about the Saudi Arabia overall.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Look, when we hear unemployment rates, we like this because when they're going down, unemployment rates is one of the key economic factors. How many people are in working, therefore how much... The more people working, in theory, the higher the GDP, the more cash moves around, the better health of the economy. When you hear unemployment rate in any country above double digits, above 10%, that's not healthy. Close to zero is almost impossible. It means every able-bodied adult has a job. It's almost impossible. But UAE has been really good at that because of visas and things like that. Saudi, in the past, hasn't had very low unemployment rate because people haven't had to work, a lot of wealth in the country, a lot of different things, but also not that brilliant, established and robust private sector, and it's getting better. So we're down at, what was the figure there, 3.6%? I used to hear figures of like 10-15%, and I even heard figures 5-10 years ago saying that actually only 5 million of Saudis are actually working of say 25 million. So but that doesn't mean that they're all in the sector. The jobs market, the labor report in the US has impact. When that comes out, it changes stock markets and things like that. It changes people's projections on inflation and many things like that. So the fact that the Saudi unemployment rate is lowering is really, really positive.
That is true, and as well because, as you mentioned, the employment rate for Saudi was back then higher at only 14.2%. However, it has increased to 35.8%, which is very significant for the job market in Saudi and as well the labor force. Now, the Saudi male employment rate dropped to 4.2%. Which was at Q1, it was 3.5%.
I think you meant the women. Yeah, it's up to 35.8%, right?
Yes.
From 14%.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which the participation, honestly, which is different to unemployment rate.
Exactly, 100%.
The unemployment rate for women is at 14% now.
100%. We have seen like how Saudi, honestly, really did establish a lot of things that we did not expect. In terms of like, I would say the progression that they have gone through in a lot of ways, and the workforce is very significant for women because like we can see the difference. It was like from 14 to 35. It is very. It's not an easy number. It's a very big number, and it's like the employment rate remained low. Specifically, like through men. However, like with the gender gap and so on, the woman Saudi woman labor force number is actually increasing, which just like shows me, and honestly, it makes me proud as a woman because we've always looked at Saudi at a point of like, oh yeah, it is so anti women with driving and so on. But with the progression that keep on happening, just like makes it all good for the market, as you said, and. So on, and as well, Saudi, we have been talking about Saudi since the last few episodes. A lot of things, the economy is getting better, inflation and so on. It just like keeps on rising. And
absolutely.
I think this will be better as well for
it. It is good. And I don't think that, the force of changes that are happening in Saudi do have wider Gulf and regional impact. Mm-hmm. It's not just a country by country thing. You know, when we talk about female employment and the changing perceptions, that's not just a Saudi thing, it's a Khaliji, it's a Gulf thing, and it's also wider in the region. Like, you know, change of perceptions, female having different types of jobs, being accepted by their families, being accepted in the workforce, the different skills, being empowered, equal pay. All these things are really important, and I think you know, we see it. And we've had our office in Riyadh since 2017, and some of the Saudi females that we've hired, it's their first jobs, and you can see the what would I say, the sort of excitement at home. You know, the families make them a cake, and it's really exciting, and it's kind of that they're having their own careers. It's encouraged. It's becoming part of society. It's really important. But yeah, I think you know, people will have naysaying and will question whether these visions and these giga projects and the whole quality of life and all the metrics that are associated with Vision 2030, a lot are to do with unemployment rate, how many people can get into labor force.
True.
A lot of the KPIs far about all these projects are actually to do with the labor force. So they're saying, hey, I want 23 five-star hotels in the Red Sea development because I want 1 million Saudi nationals to work in the hospitality sector in high-end jobs, GMs of hotels and things like that. So while people might think it's headline grabbing and it's to get attention, well, actually, no, it's to have a trickle-down effect to get people jobs. Same with, you know, we have the Ignite program in content, and we've received funding from that. And they quite, the Ministry of Investments, when we were at the signing ceremony, they specifically said that it's to give better quality jobs, not service-level jobs, to Saudi nationals in content, in media, and things like that. So they're investing. In the end, there's KPIs. And we'll do the reporting.
Exactly,
we're doing the reporting.
But as well, you know, it's because not only with their vision for 2030, but as well the fact that they actually are looking forward to become a country like the UAE. You know, the UAE as well. We know that it has it stands a lot with women, and it gives women a lot of rights.
Yeah.
But as well, like with Saudi right now, it's going through the direction of the right direction, let me say, because they are allowing women. They initially started with letting women drive, to opening cinemas.
Yeah.
Of course, because of His Highness King Salman, and
now
with women working, and the number is really significant. 35.8 is not a little number, it's a big number, and the difference we have seen, like from four
absolutely to, and then you have the big entities in Saudi in the private, you know, we know that there's a lot of IPO activity under Tadawul in Saudi, but we often hear PIF acquiring. This time there's a headline that you've got your second story is Aramco are acquiring 10% in an automotive company. The JV is called Horse Powertrain. It's a JV between Renault and Geely, and it's valued at $8.2 billion. So this is an interesting one, that Aramco are actually buying part of an automotive company, because Aramco obviously is the Saudi oil company, almost at $3 trillion valuation markup, and they, you know, they pay out massive dividends as well every year, Aramco, but now they're investing in other companies. So it's an interesting one. What's the detail here?
So initially, actually, they discussed a 20% stakes, which shows that the company's commitment to expanding its presence in the automotive sector. Now, we know that Saudi is not only looking towards investing in its people, but also investing in the environment and so on. However, the total value of the horsepower train joint is around $7.9 billion. Renault and Geely will retain about 45% ownership, while Aramco will hold the remaining 10% stake. However, as I said, like the number is not little, the number is a lot.
Yeah, and what do we know about this? So basically, Geely are China's Zigang Geely holding group, and the venture focuses on an internal combustion engine, the little I know about this, and hybrid powertrain technologies. So a move that aligns with shifting dynamics in automotive as industry electric vehicles slow, but we're obviously going in the electric vehicle direction. So Geely are obviously an automotive, you know, we know the size of the sort of Renault-Nissan alliance and all that sort of stuff. We know the size of these automotive companies and how many cars they ship. We know that Saudi are doing their own factory to produce cars for Lucid. You know, we know Saudi has always been a net importer.
That's true.
And huge dealerships. There's another announcement that that we haven't covered yet, that the Toyota dealership in Saudi have made a big investment over there. So there's a few things happening in automotive in Saudi, but this one particularly is around the combustion engine. So we'll have to dig into it a bit deeper.
I agree. And, you know, like technically, so Aramco is acquiring like the 10% stake. Of course, it focuses because on, as you said, the internal combustion and hybrid powertrain technologies. Now, this is all, by the way, part of the company's, it has a strategy to diversify in its investments in the evolving automotive industry, because like they are not, they have a vision for 2030, as we mentioned in the previous story. And there are a lot of factors that they are allowing to contribute to help them reach to what they want to reach in 2030. Whether it's like them investing in Geely or investing in their people and women.
Yeah, so Hassan Jameel, who's the deputy vice president and vice chairman of Abdul Latif Jameel, the famed, well-known Toyota KSA partners over the years. So they basically launched a Verne, V-E-R-N-E. It's an electric taxi. So they've been building it for 4 years, and Jimco, Jameel Investment Management Co., is part of that. It looks really slick. We'll stick some photos up on Smashy Business Instagram. But yeah, clearly they're moving into the electric vehicle space as well, and as management partners as well. So it's fascinating.
Yes, because like at this point as well, like the environment is such, I would say, a vital topic in all countries, whether it's the UAE and now in the story, as we say, in Saudi. And with their vision, I think if everything is, but there's a structure and there for sure should be like a, I would say, you know, it's like a template to reach to their vision and so on. And it's, as I mentioned earlier, it's not only the people, it's as well investing in the environment and so on, because we all know how that environment is a topic that is close to people's hearts and close to everyone.
Yeah,
which is what
important.
They're trying to, and as well with the fact that they are going for like hybrid electric cars and something that's more environment friendly, and investing in it is for sure going to be for the benefit of Saudi.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the environment is such a, especially when we see the time of the year and how hot places are. Mm-hmm. You just, you know, in those countries where the heat is really having an impact. We're lucky here.
True.
We've got good infrastructure. We've got good air conditioning. But there's places in the region which aren't so lucky, and
exactly.
You know, the heat is really getting to people. So, you know, the environmental change isn't just obviously about warmer. It's just all different types of extreme weather. And yeah, I think every company that's moving towards more eco-friendly initiatives, the better. So good to hear that Saudi are at that too.
So now speaking, we have FTI Group filed for bankruptcy, leaving Red Sea employees in Egypt uncompensated. Now, it's in a shocking development. The German travel giant FTI Group announced its bankruptcy on June 3rd. It has affected numerous branches worldwide, including those in Egypt. Now, if you guys do not, you might think, what is the relation between FTI Group and
Red
the
Sea
group,
24,
Red Sea 2024?
Yeah.
20, so technically, while Meeting Point in Egypt and other affiliated companies received their dues and compensation, employees at Red Sea 24 have been left, of course, uncompensated, receiving only 50% of their June salary, and which has been really disappointing. Now, a source revealed that despite the official announcement of the bankruptcy on FTI's website and the ongoing assessment of the situation by the German government, Red Sea 24 employees remain in the dark about their future. Now, the company's operations have been halted since June 7, leaving employees uncertain about their next paycheck, which is really kind of like sad. And as well, we'd have someone anonymous said, we're not just worried about our salaries, we want our rights, just like other our colleagues at Meeting Point Egypt and other branches who have received their full compensation. Now, this is all sad. This is, of course, it's very devastating when you just do not know where you stand and what's going to be happening.
Look, it's true, and it shows the knock-on effect of how international these JVs and these things are. I've been down in Red Sea developments and seeing how important the hotels and the hospitality sector is for that part of the world a few times. So, you know, what Red Sea 24 does exactly, I'm not exactly sure how much they're involved in, but, you know, this is the subsidiary that is impacted. They're only 50% of their June salary and no further updates on the compensation.
That's true. Yeah.
The company's operations have been halted since June 7th, leaving employees uncertain about
the
future.
It's happened since ever since COVID. Like, I mean, COVID has been years back. Feels like forever.
Yeah.
It really feels like forever. And we know that, you know, during COVID, a lot of businesses and companies have gotten affected. However, the bankruptcy of FTI has been, of course, due to unpaid loans from COVID-19, which is a really long time. Debts to hotel, a lot of debts. You know, all of these things have caused.
And even though the major shareholder in the parent company is Sami Suarez, who's, you know, linked with all that sort of Orascom companies. So he's been there for, and even though how, you know, billionaires they are, they're still not able to sort of, save this sort of subsidiary, but maybe they will step in and do that as well.
I think honestly that when companies, because from COVID till now, it must have been a very long time. And for them to file for bankruptcy now, it must have taken them a long time and they must have tried so hard.
Yeah.
But I think that, I don't know if you agree with me or not, because I think we might have different opinions about that. But if it does not work out from the first time, then I think maybe it's best to let it go earlier than just like wait that year since COVID. What do you think?
I think the loans pile up, and then if your business doesn't recover, it's okay for a company to have debt, and sometimes they have more debt than they need, but then they work on paying down debt, and it's a typical practice. You know, after mergers and acquisitions, sometimes companies are saddled with a lot of debt, but you just have a plan to pay it down. And sometimes these things take years. Like, there's a famous media company in the US at the moment that are paying down billions and billions of dollars of debt. But you need your underlying business to perform. And if your underlying business performs, you can pay down that debt, as long as you manage those relationships and interest rates are favorable. But you can negotiate deals with banks. Unfortunately, what's happened lately is that the interest rates are very high. And I'm sure this German company has been affected by that as well.
I mean, I do agree with you at a certain point, but I as well think in a way that if something does not work out, and they have been, because like I'm thinking in a way like COVID has been like a very long time ago, so they must have tried, they must have had strategies come along, a lot of strategies, you know, it's not like a short time, it's not a year or two, it's more than that. So for them to really pull through and hope for the best for that long and just like wait till now to file for bankruptcy, it's like, why wait all of that? And of course, now that left all of the, I would say, employees really disappointed with not knowing, because...
Look, the especially when you're building hotels, these aren't short-term projects. These take years. And I think there's just needs to be an understanding of the financial setup around those things, that it's not something that happens straight away.
That's true. And a lot of... there must have been something, you know, that is... I would say maybe the strategy is wrong, because from COVID till now and to file for bankruptcy now, something maybe must have been wrong, or maybe the planning of getting back on track.
It's the wider thing. Like David Jay, we don't know everything about the FTI group in Germany, but if we just talk about Egypt in particular, right, they've had triple currency devaluation. It's summer season now. How good is the Egyptian tourism economy? Probably not as good as it could be.
Yes.
And this is wider impact. So, yeah, like we just hope that the economy improves, the tourism sector improves, and people start going to these beautiful resorts in the Red Sea. And people at the moment, it's a bit hot in the Red Sea, so people are going to Sahel in the north coast, and there's a lot of new developments there as well. Mm-hmm. It's hard to hear stories of people not getting compensated for their hard work. So hopefully that situation has been resolved soon.
Hopefully that's resolved.
Inshallah.
And now, so for our next story, now this is, of course, close to your heart if you are a sports fan and love sports. So Saudi 20 is actually a sports market, $22 billion sports market, beacons UK investors to seize growth opportunities. Guys, we all talk about growth, and which is very exciting. So apparently, the UK have been encouraged to enter the Saudis sports sector, with the market value projected to reach 84 billion Saudi riyals, which is $22.38 billion by 2030. Now, why did I leave the story till the end? Because I know for a fact you talk about the Saudis vision for 2030, and this just like marks it as like one of it. So currently the sports market in the kingdom is estimated at 30 billion Saudi riyals. And of course, now this is all shared by Bassem Brahim, the director of sports sector in investment development at the Ministry of Investment, during the UK Saudi Sports Investment and Innovation Forum, which is very exciting, and let me say, for sports, which is just like shows me like the moment. Just like maybe I would say Cristiano Ronaldo made the good decision, the smart good decision to actually go to Al Hilal.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. I actually spoke to someone who attended this forum recently. He's managing sports partnerships and a consultancy with EY, and he was in London, an Egyptian gentleman, and he he's advising big companies on how to get involved in this. There's so much commercial activity around sports,
True.
league sponsorships. We've got something coming up this week in let me get you the stats, the Saudi Esports Tournament, and the figures and the percentages around what's happening there is massive. There's, I think, $60 million dollars in the prize money. It's over 8 weeks. There's many teams. We're going to see lots of stuff there. So that's in July in Riyadh, and global attention of esports and gaming is on there. I was speaking to someone who has a tender at the moment for the Riyadh Boulevard. Riyadh Boulevard is a new development in the inner city Riyadh that's just over 100 kilometers of sports. Horse riding, canoes, pitches, everything. Never mind the Green Project in Riyadh and the other boulevards, the boulevard that we know, with the one with the lights and all that stuff, the Riyadh Boulevard. But there's a sports boulevard being building. And yeah, like the Ronaldo impact, PIF own four of those clubs, the big clubs over there. Al Nassr are, from where they were now to their brand globally.
That's right.
And all, so the Saudi League is big. We see Saudi sponsoring, Riyadh season is sponsoring the boxing events in Vegas and in London in September. We often talk about it. We're seeing lots of different things that are happening between entertainment and sports as well. So I think what they're trying to talk about here at these events is try and get FDI, try and get foreign direct investment into buying into these initiatives. Good luck to them.
I mean, as well, I've heard that as well, because they have got already Cristiano Ronaldo. I've heard as well that Lionel Messi has turned down an enormous Saudi
That was
offer.
before the Inter Miami stuff. He did have a
Yes.
big offer. Like, it makes sense. Like, Messi, family, Miami, the language there, but Ronaldo really had, and Georgina and their family really embrace Riyadh. Ronaldo's
Yes.
in Germany at the moment, where they're playing tonight, actually, in the last 16, in the Euros. So all eyes on that at the moment. There's a lot of sport going on. We had a guest on Love Dubai show today talking about the Cricket
The
World
cricket,
Cup.
yes, we had
Tour de France has started. We've got Olympics very, very soon in Paris. So it's a summer of sport.
True.
And obviously this part of the world doesn't have that as much, but we've got esports now. And I do think that, going back to the climate thing, I do think that indoor sports and this part of the world will have more all year round sporting events, just not outdoor. It's seasonal, I guess.
I agree with you, and honestly, I'm really excited to see, because like at this point, Saudi is getting a lot of attention from football players like Ronaldo, his wife, and everyone really at this point. So I think, honestly, I do have strong hope for their 2030 vision, which I think it will be done perfectly.
Yeah, get on board,
Well,
guys. Get on board in the
yes.
Saudi sports train. Yeah,
Yes, you
absolutely. All right.
guys.
Well, thanks, Farah. Great stories today.
Thank
good
you.
Start to the week. Have a good week, everyone. I will keep you posted on Smashy Business with all the news and updates.
100%, and see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Okay.